Mini-episode 906 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 906. You've got with you today FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Joe Stazek. Truly, our good friend Joe from 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia, and also the Callous Remarks podcast with fellow FDH Lounge dignitary Steve Callous. Truly, Joe is a man for all seasons, because as I think back on some of his most recent FDH Lounge appearances, among them were recapping the 2017 NBA Finals and the 2017 Stanley Cup Finals, and today we are recapping the 2017 World Series. So as we continue to make our way through looking back at major championships, who better to turn to than our friend Joe, who of course has to be a generalist in a big sports market like Philly there. You got to be prepared to talk all four major sports teams. And, you know, might be Eagles a little more so these days, my man. But I know that you got to have it at the ready there to be able to go on any of these big four sports.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, the nature of the biz. But right now it's all Eagles all the time. And certainly something I have never experienced since I've been doing talk radio is how successful this team's been. But, you know, it kind of goes and flows. If there's a bye week here, so there's going to be a lot of Sixers talk. Maybe they'll smack the Flyers. And of course, you know, with the unfortunate situation with Doc Holliday, we were talking about that a little bit. And we did a little World Series, too, because it was such an entertaining extravaganza. And Ken Giles is a former Philly, Chase Utley, a former Philly. You know, there's a little bit of a tie there. Ed Wade was the GM in Houston until 2011. So it's a very provincial town, but once in a while they like to spread their wings around here and kind of explore, you know, the other territories. So it's been fun, but with the Eagles, the way they're playing ball, it's just been, you know, it's actually a little bit... it's been dumbed down a little bit because there's nothing to criticize. You know, the fans in this town love to pick apart and criticize and lament and miserable together about. And there's nothing like that. You can't even find something right now to criticize with the Eagles. So everyone's just enjoying the ride. But, you know, I think that a lot of folks are still a little apprehensive because, oh yeah, we've seen this movie before. We know how it ends. But this is rarefied air. 8-1 into the bye week. You know, they've done that a few times before in their history, and a couple resulted in championships, and two others resulted in a trip to the Super Bowl. So things are looking good around here so far.
Oh yeah, and you know, when you're talking about, you mentioned a couple things there to ring a bell. You know, when you're talking about the misery of Philly sports fans, as we all have, I've seen the EDP 445 videos, so I know that people are just ready to be going crazy the way that guy does at the drop of a hat. And, you know, that guy's quite a character. And, you know, in terms of provincialism, you know, we always talk about how much Philly and Cleveland have in common. I think I hear from people around here, oh, it's not any worse than it is anywhere else. I kind of beg to differ, because, you know, I've heard from friends that, like, they didn't have the seventh game of the World Series on at this bar or that bar. Like, who cares because the Indians aren't in it? You know, I think we invented who cares because our team isn't in it, you know, which is frustrating to me, because I will continue to watch regardless, not merely because I have to keep up with stuff for the show, but because
right.
I want to. But it's, you know, it's funny also, too, and in terms of these Cleveland-Philly ties, oddly enough, that's a perfect place to start with the World Series, because as you and I talked about briefly off air, you look at the last 2 years, and Sam Hinkie, of course, made the phrase "the process" famous with the Philadelphia 76ers. The Browns have tried to adapt it with far less success thus far, albeit I guess you could say the Browns are now looking like the Sixers looked for years, but this was supposed to be year two and where it was getting to be much better. But baseball, it seems like it works. you know, it's worked in hockey, most famously in the last decade with the Blackhawks, who bottomed out. As a big Red Wings fan, I remember when we just bitch-slapped them a couple of times a year and never gave them a second thought. All of a sudden, little brother's back winning Stanley Cups again, much to our frustration, and now the Red Wings are down and out.
Yes,
funny how that works, you know.
Oh, karma comes around.
Yeah.
Karma comes around and gets you.
Yeah, yeah. There'll be... I hate to say it, there'll be no successful process with, Ken Holland in there, a guy who basically should have been put out the pasture years ago. But I digress, you know. But in baseball...
I feel you, Rick.
You've been there. You've seen too many executives who are just cashing paychecks years after their sell-by
date. I've lived it.
Yes.
I've lived it here.
Yes, you know. But the process... It seems to work in baseball. You go back a couple of years, Kansas City, and of course, I mean, as soon as they got their title, they just basically got out a book of stamps and mailed it in. We need Johnny Cueto to win a World Series. Oh, wait, we won a World Series? We don't want to pay Johnny Cueto anymore. So, you know, they've gone back from whence they came. But the Cubbies, they've shown that they're going to stick. You know, they didn't make it back to the World Series, but the National League Championship Series is not much of a fall off from where they were a year ago. And you look at the Astros this year, a real commonality. I've sort of described them the last couple of years as a slightly poor man's version of the Cubs, just because to me, like, the Cubs are like the 10 out of 10 of a rebuild. And the Astros are like an 8.5 or a 9. That's not to slam the Astros, but I mean, they've got a lot of talent there as well. But the starting pitching was just a little more questionable than the Cubs were a year ago. Ironically, it's the bullpen that made you think the Astros had a chance. Like, oh, if they can just get it past those starters into the bullpen, little did we know. So,
right?
You know.
Work out that way.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And you've even got the commonality, strangely enough, of the Cubbies and the Astros both break a drought for their fans and break the hearts of longtime fans out there. As a lifelong denizen of the North Coast, I feel you, Los Angeles. I know what it's like to lose to one of these teams. But, you know, the process in baseball.
Yeah, you know that all too well. That game seven, extra innings. I mean, God bless you for hanging in there. I felt for you, Rick, that night.
Oh, God,
I felt for you. I know what it's like being there, and you're so close, and it slips away. And it's just, again, we've lived it, but that was... I know you had the Cavaliers championship to kind of ease the pain a little bit, but still stings.
A little bit, and I said at the time, I was like, this hurts a lot, but it's not like, you know, if it was one more nail in the coffin of 52-plus years, it would be a radically different thing, as opposed to literally losing the next championship that we were... You know, in, you know, it was as you're looking on the calendar here, you know, it's like we had a chance to go 2 for 2 after going. I did the math. It was 151 championships in the Big Four sports, in Big Four because we had the Barons for 2 years, but 151 in between the 64 Browns and the 16 Cavs. Ironically, 151 is what we needed to pound a lot of times to help us get through it, you know. But that number is kind of a magical one for us, Joe. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, I could sit here and drown in self-pity about the Indians all day, and particularly the way that this season ended. But, I mean, as far as it goes with the Astros, just, again, so many commonalities with the Cubs. Slight commonalities, I guess you could say, with Kansas City because they kind of built it towards it. But again, if the Cubs were a 10 out of 10 in the rebuild and the Astros were an 8.5 or a 9, even the Royals would only be about, I'd say, a 7 or a 7.5 on that scale. They had a decent amount of talent. They were a really good team. But these Astros and these Cubs just look like they're built to stay for years to come, I think.
Yeah, I think the Cubs are going to be here for a while, and I think the Astros are going to be around that. They are just inundated with talent, and it was so entertaining to watch these guys. These guys like Jose Altuve was undrafted in the 48th round, you know, selection. I mean, you got to have guys who can make the right selections. You know, you can be as bad as you want for as long as you want, but if you're not selecting the right guys with these opportunities, you're not going to get anywhere. Now, if you look at the Cubs, one, they brought in Theo Epstein, who's, you know, nothing if not a genius, and his blueprint was to acquire the everyday players first and then, you know, get the pitching afterwards instead of the other way around where most teams will go for pitching, you need pitching, blah, blah, blah. But his theory and his thoughts are and his philosophy is, well, these guys play every day. Pitchers play, you know, once every 5 days. So he made a trade for Addison Russell. They were bad long enough with 100 lost seasons. They got Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Albert Almora Jr., you know, Ben Zobrist, and then, of course, they went after and they courted John Lester to get him here or to get him there. And Jose Quintana, they got it. They picked up, you know, last year. And then Kyle Hendricks, Jake Arrieta. I mean, then they surrounded the young, talented core players, I like to call them, the core strengths. You know, we talk about when you work out, the core strength. Well, that's what he did first. And then he surrounded it with, I mean, God bless him, because he still went out and got some marquee pitchers. And the Astros, you know, kind of did the same thing. You never know how it's really going to turn out. But, you know, if you have the right scouting, you have the guys in the brass that really know what they're doing, because you're not going to hit on every pitch, obviously. But if you hit on a few home runs, so to speak, like I mentioned, like Altuve and Gonzalez and Carlos Correa, and I love George Springer. I mean, just watching him, you know, play with the joy. And then, of course, you go out and pick up like a Brian McCann to really study the pitching staff. And then at the trade deadline, you go out and you get Mr. Marquis, Mr. King Upton himself, Justin Verlander, to really put a bow on things. And you look, once they got into crunch time, I mean, he was the guy. I mean, he's so dialed in, and you need that kind of character, a pitcher, and a guy who doesn't wilt, and a guy who really can carry a team, you know, every 3 or 4 days out. And listen, give credit to the Dodgers. They had a tremendous, tremendous season. I mean, the series pitted two teams with over 100 wins. Our boy Steve Callis and I have this thing with Clayton Kershaw. We won't get into ripping him too much, but he's like Sandy Koufax in the regular season, and then he tends to be Peyton Manning in the postseason. We still haven't figured out why, but they also put together a nice pitching staff with Rich Hill and Alex Wood. And unfortunately, Yu Darvish was a nice pickup, a nice trade acquisition, but he failed, and he failed miserably, you know, in the postseason. But, I mean, they got rookies like Cody Bellinger, and they kind of got Yasiel Puig to settle down a little bit. And it was just fun to watch. It's fun to watch these teams grow, these teams come together. And I was really happy for the Astros, because the Dodgers have been hanging around for years and years. And even going back to when the Phillies were making their runs, they knocked them off 2 years in a row, and I think they won 3 straight divisions. They've been around. And they haven't been able to get over the hump. I thought this year might be it. But watching the Astros and that team, you know, get it done with some of that young talent and those two big swing games, it was game two and game five. The game two with extra innings, 5 home runs in 42 minutes. I mean, that's like winning the overtime games in a 7-game playoff series in hockey. There's such big swing games, and they gutted it out, got it done, and, you know, they're world champions because of it.
Exactly. And those were just really, really, really monumental as far as winning those two games for the ages. And when you talk about the fun of watching the Astros, to me, a lot of it aesthetically is, that's one of my favorite parks to watch a game in. I just love watching games
beautiful.
In Minute Maid. Isn't it fun watching games there?
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's on my to-do list at some point. One thing on my immediate to-do list, you mentioned George Springer, and that's a guy that I've had on my keeper team. Well, I'm in a long-term keeper league. I've had him since he was at UConn. He was a senior at UConn, Joe. So that's how long I've had him. To treat myself for getting all the FDH Lounge podcasts up on the website, which was a long-term project for me to do, a lot of elbow grease, to treat myself, I'm getting myself a Springer, but a throwback rainbow one of the old Astros rainbow jerseys. Like, I'm not sure.
Mike Scott, Nolan Ryan. Oh,
yeah.
That's the best.
Joe, I don't know if I'm cool enough to pull it off, but I'm going to wear it anyways.
You can pull that off.
You think
man.
So?
You are Mr. Cool, especially you rocking one of those Astros jerseys.
Oh, my God.
I'm all in.
Oh, man.
In solidarity for you.
I want to think I'm cool enough to rock one of those. I guess we'll find out. I'll have to post a picture up on the website when I get one. But, you know, yeah, that's definitely something I'm doing now. I'm obviously I'm all in on George Springer because he's been
totally.
Getting it done for me for a while. He's really kind of the centerpiece of that. But as you said, these teams, they don't hit on anybody. John Singleton, anybody? So, you know, they have to hit on enough of the guys. They hit on him.
Sure.
They hit on Correa, Altuve, as a guy who was kind of a late bloomer, as you pointed out. But one of the things that's kind of striking to me is, you know, I mentioned the Royals before, and when they won, It's easy to make something out of, okay, mid-decade, end of an era, but you look at it like the first half of the 2010s, you had the great run with the Giants, which is, one way or another, that is definitely over. When you're the worst team in baseball, the end of that first run is over, but you had them up there. You had Kansas City, you had St. Louis, you had Boston. Boston has remained on the fringes of it, but 2 years in a row getting ignominiously booted in the ALDS, Boston hasn't made strides. Meanwhile, if you're going to look ahead to the next year or 2 years, it seems like we have a new sort of, if you go off of the term from the old Soviet government, the nomenclatura in baseball. In the American League, you've got Cleveland, you've got Houston, you've got the Yankees. The last 2 years in the National League, it's been the Dodgers and the Cubs. You've got the Nationals, who are sort of the Washington Capitals of baseball, fittingly enough, as far as their...
They totally are.
Yeah. Just can't get it done when it counts. Going to try a new manager. Hope it helps a little bit there. My Indians, it was a thing. Going into the postseason, both Callis and I thought they were going to win the World Series. We made that prediction, and I said... I thought they were set up to handle the randomness of October. They looked to be the best team. The note of caution I said going in was that they're a much better team than they were a year ago, but that 2016 team, even fraught with injuries, not having as much depth, it didn't have a Jay Bruce or an Edwin Encarnacion, whatever, it was more set up to thrive on the randomness and the chaos of October, strangely enough.
Yeah.
Than this year's team was. This year's team, coming off the 22-game winning streak, looked like it could handle pretty much anything going in. So we were wrong about that as far as this year, but the window is still open. And, you know, to me, you're looking at five or six teams that not just next year, the year after possibly, you know, and you look at the ratings the last 2 years, Cubs, Indians, Astros, Dodgers, you got to think a grab bag of basically any of these five or six teams and MLB is going to be thrilled because you're looking at, again, not necessarily the Indians being a big size market. Most of the rest of the teams I mentioned are. The Indians also now inherit the whole thing of longest heartbreak streak, which, you know, that still counts for something as far as national ratings go. So, you know, baseball seems like it's set up in a pretty good place with this upper tier in the American League and the National League the next couple of years, I would think, business-wise.
No, absolutely. And I agree with you. You're looking at the mid-level and some would even call the lower-level markets, and they're just, you know, they're thriving. They're picking it up for the big markets. But the Yankees, once again, believe it or not, they made their run, and, you know, with that $900 million payroll, they got it done almost. They got to the cusp. You know, didn't quite get it done. And you have your teams like the Philadelphia Phillies, who were one of those teams, really kind of they built themselves up from nothing. And that was, again, the work of Ed Wade. I know he doesn't get a ton of credit, but he built that infield with Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, Ryan Howard et al. And then they built around them. And they got old. They got slow in terms of pulling the trigger on moves. And then we had 8 years of dreck after that. If you don't stay on top of things, you need to keep changing and you need to keep, you know, improving and upgrading, even when you're on top, because you will fall off a cliff. And that's happened, you know, to the Phillies, unfortunately. But it is nice to see, you know, teams like you mentioned, with the Indians and Terry Francona, who obviously couldn't manage in Philadelphia. He goes and wins two rings for Boston, and, you know, the Indians to within one game. So, you know, it's fun to watch. It's fun to see these kids that you never heard of about 3 or 4 years ago, and all you knew was, you know, the Indians might have been the joke of the league. And then, you're looking at guys like Jason, you know, Gibbons and Carlos Santana. And like I mentioned, Tito Francona, who's now a legend in Boston. And you watch, like you mentioned, Bruce, Jay Bruce, guys like that just coming together. Unfortunately, I mean, I thought they were going to get it done. I really did with that 3-1 lead. But it doesn't always happen. But, you know, Kluber, for whatever reason, you know, fell off a cliff. But, you know, listen, they're going to be around for a while. They're going to be around for a while. The Cubbies are going to be around for a while. They've built themselves to put themselves in a position to have a decent-sized window. And same with the Astros, like I mentioned, same with the Indians. The Royals, like you mentioned, kind of put some stamps on it. And, you know, they kind of fell off the cliff. But, you know, it's fun to watch. And also the Nationals, you know, they are – and I hate to say this, but they are the Washington Capitals. They are that team who is so loaded with talent, and I like the way what they've done too. You know, building themselves up from virtually nothing. And Dusty Baker, listen, obviously, you know, got to find a new gig, but he wasn't able to get it done. But they're fun to watch as well. They seem to be the cream of half of the National League, and they end up like Ovi and the rest of those guys in Washington. But again, another young team with a lot of promise, and I think someday soon they'll get over the hump. But it's roll the dice, and you know, shoot darts at a board, see who's going to be the next team to step up. But of the team you mentioned, you know, that's your best bet. You know, putting your money on, again, young teams like the Indians and up-and-comers, and the Astros, I think they're going to be around for a while if their pitching holds up, Dodgers as well. And, you know, my money's on the Cubbies. I love Theo Epstein. I love what, you know, his thinking. I love his philosophy, and I love what he did and how he built a team. And, you know, I'm going to go. My money's on the Cubs, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of the other teams you mentioned made a push and got themselves a ring as well.
Well, you know what? Let's be thematic about this. Down the home stretch, let's take this thing full circle here as far as the process goes. We started by talking about what the Astros and the Cubs have done. You know, you got a good example of it right there in Philly, of a team that's trying to get to that point, trying to make the rebuild happen. You got Gabe Kapler in there as a manager, which, again, Philly has gone in sort of uncharacteristic directions in sports in recent years here. You know, you and I talked about Doug Peterson previously, who wasn't really very much on the radar. You got to hope Gabe Kapler is going to work out as well as him. You guys were talking to Mickey Callaway, who, you know, I've been putting over like the moon the last couple of years. I've been saying the best coach in baseball. We'll see if it translates as a manager, but learning at the feet of Terry Francona as a manager sure can't hurt. I think the Mets are going to be in very good shape there. What do you see with the Phillies coming off of, again, I'm not necessarily going to compare it to the 2017 Cleveland Browns, but the Phillies were expected to start taking steps forward by now and haven't. You have that in common with my Brownies, as far as I thought it was supposed to be happening by now. So where do you see things going into 2018?
Well, they certainly have a very outside-the-box kind of manager in Gabe Kapler at this point. I don't know if you saw some of his blogs that they dug up from
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean he can't manage. It just means he's a little bit of a different thinker.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I kind of like the move. Listen, there were guys out there that, you know, hey, listen, three managers that took their teams to the playoffs, you know, are looking for gigs. And they didn't go after one of those guys. They didn't go after Dusty Baker or you know, the cat from Boston the Yankees manager.
Girardi, yeah.
Girardi.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they, you know, I thought maybe they'd take a run. I thought they needed a name. But, you know, they didn't go in that direction. We'll see what happens. He's only really been a manager at a decent, somewhat of a high level for one season. So who knows if he can manage. He certainly can throw the weights around. He's an unbelievable physical specimen in Gabe Kapler. And he's an outside-the-box thinker. I think you watch the Phillies, and it's hard to watch the Phillies these days, but if you watch the Phillies, you see some sparkle in there. You don't know if you're watching like a diamond in the rough or if you're watching a piece of broken glass. And I say that because some of these guys could go either way. It's nice to see a guy like Nick Williams come in and prove that he can be an everyday center fielder. You know, Rhys Hoskins, you know, hits home runs every day. You know, apparently he had like 17 straight or something ridiculous. And it doesn't mean that he's going to be, you know, Willie Mays or whatever. But he obviously stepped in. He can play at this level. Cesar Hernandez, decent second baseman. Freddie Galvis never really has become what I think they thought he would become. But the bottom line is this. They don't have the pitching. They have a couple of infielders and outfielders if you want to sprinkle. And say, oh, these guys on a decent team would really shine. You have Aaron Nola and Jared Eichhoff are your one and your two. And I don't know, I think on most teams would be a three. Eichhoff would be a four. They really need to get guys in there. They might have some guys that can win you your pitching staff maybe 50 games. They need a pitching staff that can really, the starter, to win you 60, 65 games. They really don't have the pitching. They have some good players coming up, some entertaining players coming up. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Gabe Kapler. Now, Pete McCann, Didn't last, 2 years, but he wasn't given a whole lot to play with. He really wasn't. Ryan Sandberg was a disastrous choice. He also wasn't given a lot to manage. You know, you look a lot better when you have better players out there. You know, I mean, I say that because I mentioned Terry Francona got run out of this town on a rail, and he wins a couple of chips in Boston. He had great players in Boston. He almost won a chip in Cleveland. He had great players in Cleveland. You know, it certainly helps. But I think they're on the right direction. They're in the right direction. But they've been a tough watch for a few years. They've been a really tough watch, considering we had 5 years of really sparkling and entertaining Red October around here that only resulted in one championship. But, you know, they didn't stay on top of it, and we watched the team get old and tired very quickly, and that's what happens when you don't replenish. And then, you know, they hang on to guys because they want to put butts in the seats, but they also want to bring up new guys, but they don't want to really bring up new guys because they might lose butts in the seats. And it was a mess. It really was a mess, but I think they're in the right direction, right?
Well, yeah, and as far as the pitching goes, as a guy who on his non-keeper team had Nola and Eichhoff, respectively, the last 2 years, you don't have to tell me about those guys because, you know, they were, you know, I drafted them as like 3 or 4 guys, and, you know, in a fantasy sense, I don't know if they even lived up to being that. They're just so up and down, both of them, you know.
Up and down is correct,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you never know what weeks to start them. They're always going to, you know, kill you one way or another. But, you know, I think you've put your finger on it right there. Pitching is going to have to be the next part of the puzzle here for the Phillies as they continue to develop. And it will be an interesting story. But, hey, in the meantime, at least you got the Eagles. You know, it's more than a lot of towns got right now. A team that's flying high like them. Carson Wentz and the gang there really making it happen. So congratulations on that. And again,
thank you.
You know, you're doing great covering the entire sports scene there in Philly, Joe. And it's always a pleasure to get you on the lounge here and talk whatever sports we want to. As I say, you are a great generalist. Whatever the sport is, we just plop you in. We have a great conversation. I appreciate that as always, my man.
Rick, I love coming on the show. Highlight of my week. And certainly I'm going to return and serve. And come on my show the next couple weeks. I'd love to have you talk about Cleveland. And you are also one of those guys that knows the whole landscape. And I'd love to have you on. I appreciate you having me on tonight, pal.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Joe. Thanks for being on. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to FDH Lounge Mini Episode number 906.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.